The Psalms teach us that faith is a song to be sung. Whenever we embrace our faith afresh, it brings us a taste of the world to come. And every fresh exercise of faith is a new song. Today's psalm is, I believe, the single most known and perhaps the most loved chapter in the Bible. It's a poignant piece because it's written by David, who began as a shepherd boy. The Lord said to him, "You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler." So when King David reflects upon God's lordship over him, he thinks in terms that he is most familiar with. Please listen once again to the 23rd Psalm.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
What makes Psalm 23 so irresistibly personal for almost everyone is that it is written in the first person. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you imagine the difference it would have upon your soul if it read, "The Lord is like a shepherd. He makes people lie down in green pastures," etc. The Lord is like a shepherd is a description. The Lord is my shepherd is a confession. The Lord is a shepherd would be a study. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a testimony. The Lord is a shepherd would cause us to sit back and passively analyze and appreciate David's exploration of faith. But the Lord is my shepherd. That invites us to identify with the king so intimately that we quickly forget that we are seeing through David's eyes and we begin to contemplate the Lord ourselves. Now, isn't that true? Isn't that true for you? When you hear this psalm, are you thinking about David or are you thinking about yourself? Are you thinking about some historical statement about Israel's care, about God's care for Israel's ancient king? Or are you contemplating his care for you? It's irresistible. The 23rd Psalm is one of the few passages of Scripture that distills the actual experience of exercising faith. See, most of the time the Bible describes what faith is like or illustrates somebody responding in faith or not. But the way David wrote this psalm, it really comes across as an expression or an act of faith in itself. The Lord is my shepherd. And whenever we read this psalm, it's an invitation for us to grab a hold of that same faith as we're reading it. Because you see, we can talk about faith a great deal. We can describe it. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen is not made by what was visible. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We can talk about how faith looks to Christ and sees the living God, how Christ is the image of the invisible Creator, and his cross, the greatest expression of love and grace in history, and his resurrection, the hope of a better life and an eternal one. And we can talk about how we get faith and how it's a gift of God, lest any should boast, and how it's a mark of spiritual rebirth, and how we discover it as we hear God's word. We can describe faith, and we can discuss how we get it and strengthen it and how we use it. But I'm intrigued with the way that David has crafted this psalm to make it a first-person assertion of faith. David is not just describing what he believes. He's asserting it. He is exercising it. He is experiencing it. And Psalm 23 irresistibly encourages us to exercise our faith we have also, which is something we need to learn to do, to exercise our faith, which is our topic this morning. Because we have a habit of putting our faith down, just putting it aside for a moment. Actually, faith can lay dormant for some time, even in the face of great need. And then somebody reads Psalm 23. David's testimony irresistibly makes you think of yours. And it's like you remember the faith that is precious to you lying unused somewhere. Where did you put it? And you remember that you've got to exercise the faith you have. You have to reach out and pick it up again. And when you do, you see the Lord once again. You can see His sovereignty and His love. You can almost feel your soul and body relax because you've picked up your faith. You never lost it, but you laid it aside. Imagine that shepherd's staff over there under the cross. Imagine that represents the relationship that Jesus creates with the Lord God. God loved the image of a shepherd's staff. Even in this text, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the Old Testament, God expressed that special relationship He had with His people as a shepherd and a flock. And the shepherd's staff is one of the great images and symbols of that in the Old Testament. That staff that Moses carried, it used to be his shepherd's staff. God took it. He confiscated it. He said, "This is my shepherd's staff now." And it represented His guidance and His care. And that's why Moses had to hold the staff up whenever God was active. It wasn't a matter of praying. It was a matter of letting people see that God is the one who is acting as their shepherd at this moment, doing something wonderful to provide for His people. They had to see that. That's the staff I took with me when I trekked through Israel for a few weeks, and I needed it before I was through, I'll tell you. Let's imagine it represents a saving relationship with our Lord. For many, that's not the relationship that they have. For many, God is going to be a judge. But for His people, for those who trust in His gospel, God is a shepherd. Think of faith as choosing to pick up that staff. For every believer, there came a point when he or she took up that staff in faith, received it, possessed it as his or her own. First, you heard about the Lord Jesus somewhere, maybe from your parents, maybe from a pastor, maybe from an author, maybe from a friend. I first heard of Him through Billy Graham's preaching on television. Then I saw the Lord reflected in a Youth for Christ meeting. And I learned of Him from other students at InterVarsity Christian Fellowship on the college campus and through Annapolis EP. How have you heard of Christ? Discovering the gospel is like coming across that staff under a cross, How God came to us in Jesus to save us, to lead glorious lives. And over time, you come to understand the gospel. You come to understand what it means for God to become your shepherd instead of your judge. It took me about 4 months to understand that from a standing stop. It takes some people less time than that. It takes some people a great deal longer. You're thinking about it. You think about it over and over again. Maybe you start worshiping with Christians for a while. Her church thought that Mickey was a believer for months and months before she actually took that faith for herself. You look at that staff, you look at Christ from a distance for a while. And then one day, you do it. You come over to it, and you pick it up, and you make it your own. And now the gospel belongs to you. And you belong to the gospel. Or more accurately, you belong to Christ. And He belongs to you. It's yours. You took it. Do you remember the day when you did that? When you stopped looking at a distance at that relationship with God and you reached out and you took the gospel and you decided to believe it? Unless you were too young to remember pretty much anything, that day is impossible to forget. You'd remember the day you became a naturalized citizen somewhere. You would remember the day you got married. Entering into a covenant relationship with God is a conscious decision. Taking this staff is a commitment on your part to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and mind and soul and strength. It's saying, "I trust You to be my shepherd and to guide me. Therefore, whatever You say, I will believe, and whatever You command, I will do." And more important than that, taking this staff is a commitment on your part to trust God to love you with all of His heart and soul and mind and strength, which is much stronger than yours. Because for all of your best intentions, and you come to Christ with your best intentions, but for all of them, your love's going to falter. It's going to sometimes fail. His will not. You may stray away from your vows and drift back into sin. But Christ says He is the good shepherd. He will not allow you to be destroyed. He's not going to just wait for you to find your own way back. He's going to come after you. He's going to find you. And He's going to bring you home as often as it takes. See, this staff reminds us that while salvation is a two-way commitment, it rests entirely in the hands of God to make it work. The flock and the shepherd belong to each other. Each loves the other. But getting the flock home is not a task that's set out for the sheep. It is the sole responsibility of the shepherd. And Jesus said, if it takes me laying down my life to get you home, I will do it. And He did. He died for all of our sins, past and present, even future. Even tomorrow's sins are already covered. We will make it home because of Him. This staff represents salvation by grace alone. God gets us back home through Christ. Have you ever reached out and taken that faith for yourself? Christian, the day you consciously grasped this staff, the day you prayed to God and told Him you believe the gospel, you trust Christ to save you, even though you're an undeserving sinner, the day you committed yourself to following Him and trusted Him to get you home, even if you stray off the path, that's the day you became one of Christ's flock. And nothing can ever rip you from that flock. No enemy can destroy you. No stupidity on your part can separate you from Him. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who gives them to me, is greater than all, and nobody can snatch them out of His hand. The Lord is a shepherd for all who know Him, who by sovereign grace hear His voice and reach out and grasp the faith. Now, I want to remind us all of what it means to grasp the gospel. Because what gives Psalm 23 such enduring and compelling force is its exhortation to grasp afresh this faith that we have in the Lord. True saving faith isn't something you can lose. It's a gift of God. It's cultivated out of your soul by the Holy Spirit. People who are truly saved don't ever lose their faith, but we sure can lay it aside. We can put it down so that our soul is free to grab other things. You know, we think we don't need to hold on to our faith every minute. We can just rest it over here, get back to it whenever we like. Boy, that's dangerous thinking, isn't it? That's a great way to become intimidated by the world again. It's a great way to be seduced by its charms. When we lay aside the truth that the Lord is our shepherd and we belong to Him and He belongs to us, we forget that following Him is necessary for our safety. And it's the way to find peace and restoration, and that He's the one that protects us, guides us. One part of the analogy that the Bible picks up several times is the sheep do have a way of straying. And when they do, it never works out very well for them. And David wrote this psalm, I think, to grab you, to remind you what salvation's all about. When you read this psalm, he kind of tricks you into expressing your faith before you realize what you're doing. Ah, the Lord is my shepherd. See, I almost forgot. The Lord is. He's my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. How about that? And you look around and you find your faith again. And you remember the relationship you've got with God and Christ Jesus. And you reach out and you pick it up. You grasp it again. Your soul grabs hold of that faith that you never lost. You just laid aside for a minute. And everything is different. A moment before, all you could see was worry, self-pity, fear, grief. But now, in addition to the trials that are still there, you see God. And more than that, you see how you and God are related. He's your shepherd. Exercising faith is reaching out to grasp the gospel you already own. Very much like you did the first time. You aren't getting saved all over again. You only need to be reconciled to God once. Your faith and your salvation are your possession forever. But there are many times during a day when you need to rediscover your faith. See where you laid it, where you put it down. I'm getting to the point now where I do not know where these things are. I sit down and I'm, you know, I just got all comfortable, you know, and my world is blurry. And I think, wait a minute. And I go find these things somewhere and put them back on so I can see straight. And that's like it is with our faith. We gotta find it again. We gotta reassert that it's true and take comfort in his rod and staff afresh and pick it up again. What does it feel like to reach out and pick up your faith afresh? Well, David reminds us. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." Now you tell me, how often do you feel like you're in want? How often? You see how often we lay our faith aside? How often do you feel like you lack something you absolutely need? Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a husband or a wife or companion. Maybe it's direction. And you feel like a frightened sheep. And you wonder what's going to happen to you. You got to reach out and grab your faith again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. My God knows what I need. And he cares. He knows what I need and he knows what I don't need. And I don't have to worry about what I don't have because I have him. And he has me. And whatever I truly need, my God is going to give me because he's my shepherd. Maybe what I need right now is patience and endurance and to stop whining, and he'll give those things to me. Maybe I actually need some other. He'll give whatever I need. He'll give them to me. Because he cares about me more than I care about myself. He proved that. I'm not worried anymore because he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Look at all you're confessing about your faith as you read this. How often do you feel like maybe you just can't go on? I mean, the journey in life, it's a hard one. This world is broken, and we got to live in it while it's broken until the church is completed. Like you got to live in the dark until the lights come back on. Forgetting the wolves for a moment, leave them aside. Just getting from meadow to meadow is hard. The ground is rocky, water is scarce. Life can be just plain tiresome, weary. Just living day to day is hard work. Sometimes you feel like you're in a soap opera, one surprise, one challenge after another. At first, while you're young, you say things like, oh, well, this stress is just temporary. Just wait till the end of the semester, things will be different. Just wait until I get that job, things will be different. Just wait until the child's out of diapers, then things will be different. Wait till I get over the flu, wait till I retire. The list goes on. Just wait, and it'll be okay. And eventually it dawns on you that stress in this life is not temporary, and it's not going to go away. You cannot wait until the stress stops to revive your soul. You have to learn how to do it while you're on the journey. You don't wait until life is without stress to enjoy your relationship with God. If you do, you're going to be waiting until heaven. You can do that if you want, but you don't have to. You can learn how to remember, how to rediscover when the way is weary that the Lord is my shepherd. You got to find out where you laid the gospel and pick it up again, like you did the first time. And you find out that he provides green pastures whenever your soul is hungry. Quiet waters whenever your soul is jarred with the world's turbulence. How can he do that? I don't know. I'm not God. I just know he does it. I know he's done it for me, and he's never failed me. As often as I put this aside, because the Lord is my shepherd. You realize he's going to restore my soul anytime I wish. I only need to exercise my faith, reach over, pick up the gospel where I left it, and he'll feed my empty soul with truth that will sustain me. My mouth may be so dry I can't form anything good to say. My inner thirst to be understood, to have compassion, meaning, comfort, so strong. My God will bring water out of the rock for me. He'll remind me of the bond between us that puts the whole rocky landscape in perspective. He'll revive my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Your relationship with the Lord is not only passive, it's also very active. Following Christ doesn't only mean that he protects you and provides for you. It means that you participate in his glorious ministry in this world as long as you draw breath. Ministry to your spiritual family, whether that be in your home or in your church or in the larger church. Ministry to your neighbor, to unbelievers, whether in your home or the larger community. Paths of righteousness represent the many choices you have to make in a single day, and especially the big choices you have to make once in a while. It's choosing the right path. Because, you know, you always have choices. You always have choices. Always two paths you can take. There's always two responses you can take to an insult. Always two responses you can take to an opportunity. There's always two ways you can respond to a need you see in a co-worker's life. There's always two choices when it comes to investing the spiritual gifts and resources that God has entrusted to you. Always two choices. Sometimes you lack the wisdom to choose with confidence. You know, you're traveling ground you never traveled before. You've never been a parent before. You never led a small group before. You're not sure what to do. Well, you got to remember that the Lord is my shepherd. This ground that's new to me isn't new to him. He's been over this ground a million times with people. He knows what's right. He knows what choice to make. The Lord is my shepherd, and he'll guide me. He'll teach me as I study his word, honestly, as I listen to those whom he's given to instruct me. He'll answer my prayers. He'll make my way clear. If I make a mistake, he'll be right there. I won't get too far, not if my heart is clear with him. He'll bring me back. Some crimes, of course, it isn't wisdom we lack, it's courage. Courage to make the choice that we know we should make. No point in praying for wisdom when you already have it. What if you know what you should do at work or at home, and you wonder what will the consequences be? Gee, if only God would be there with me, you know, by my side as I make this. Hey, wait a minute. That's what a shepherd does, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. If I do what I know he wants me to do, then I'm following him. If I'm following him, I'm right next to him. I'm not going anywhere where he's not taking me. Then I don't have to worry about the consequences if I travel close to him. I don't have to worry about the consequences if I travel close to him. I don't have to worry about the consequences if I travel close to him. It's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Oh, those valleys of shadows. They're really bad, aren't they? I think this is where the wolves come in. And this is why it says the shepherd's staff and rod comforts us. He uses the rod as a cudgel to smash enemies. Now, it's talking about my enemies. Because there are forces at work to destroy us. Some are quite human. There are people who will take all of your life savings if you let them. There are people who would think they are heroes if they blow you up or give you some terrible disease to make a political point. Some of our foes aren't exactly human. You know, this planet is not exactly right. In a way that I can't explain, human sin is messed up the way nature works. I don't think Eden was supposed to suffer hurricanes. And there are demonic forces. Forces who love to remain hidden in the shadows. Demonic forces who hate the one you worship. And if they can oppose him or embarrass him by hurting you, they will. If I knew all the forces arrayed against me, I'd probably stay in bed. Unless I remember in the morning that the Lord is my shepherd. This helps me get out of bed. That he is willing to stand between me and danger. Indeed, he's going to discourage all my enemies. He'll destroy them if he has to. And he will also closely guide me with his staff. He'll gently guide me when it gets dark along the right path. That's what's called discipline. He disciplines those whom he loves. He makes us to keep along because he loves us. He disciplines those whom he loves. He doesn't want us to get too far off the path when the way is dangerous because he cares about us. The Lord is my shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. It's not clear if this verse sticks with the shepherd motif or if David is straying a bit, talking about God as his friend after a battle. But we can easily sense the idea of victory, vindication over opponents, the anointing that illustrates a special blessing and calling, the overflowing cup of God's provision. The world may not think much of me. The world may take no notice of me and never take me seriously. But the Lord is my shepherd. And in the end, being a sheep tended by God Almighty is going to turn out to be more glorious than trying to be a lion on my own. One day they will see all that they value turn to dust while I enjoy what my God has reserved for me. One day they will wonder what they accomplished when my anointing and my calling is just becoming clear. The Lord is my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Trusting in Christ to take my old ruined reputation and exchange it with His reputation that is perfect, that He earned. Trusting Christ to turn God from a stranger and fearsome judge into my friend. This makes all the difference in the world. Christian, it always makes all the difference in the world. Because it means that wherever I am, and it means whatever I am doing, and it means whoever I am with, God's goodness and God's love is always at hand. It follows me with His Spirit. If I don't feel it, it's because I have misplaced my faith and put it down. But discovering it again is as easy as reaching out with my soul and picking it up again. Practice doing that, Christian. Practice rediscovering your faith every day. And God's goodness and His love will follow you all the days of your life. They will follow you right up to the last day and your last breath. And when you put your tired body aside, God's goodness and love will still be with you, because you're going to live with Him forever. Let's pray. Oh, Father, when we first came to faith, it was so important, so central, that we held on to it tight for days and weeks without ever letting it go. Over time, we've become somewhat more lax, taking it for granted as we make our way through this confusing, demanding maze. Now we can go for days, even longer, without thinking about who You are or what You and we have together. If faith were a song, it's like we just stop singing or put the guitar aside just for a minute, and before we know it, it's got dust on it. And then we hear this psalm again. And David's crafty strategy works once more, and we hear, where we say, "The Lord is my shepherd," and just saying it, thinking it, triggers the knowledge in your children that it's true. In Christ, You are my shepherd. You are. In grasping our faith again, You revive our souls, and You lead us in righteousness, and You vindicate our obedience, and You call us to ministry. We remember Your love and Your power, and suddenly, where there had been only anxiety and discouragement, there is Your goodness and Your love. We thank You, Father. We thank You for every time we rediscover the gospel. We thank You for every time we rediscover our life in You. Oh, thank You, Lord, that You are our shepherd.